from meager beginnings as an adolescent ambulance washer in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, to a decade-long legacy of bringing you breaking news before it makes the news, broadcasting live from the studios of Scared Monkeys Radio Network via C-band satellite W3-957, Access Communications Channel 7, and worldwide via digital streaming audio at ScaredMonkeysRadio.com, it's the Dana Pretzer Show. And now, your host, Dana Pretzer.
Okay, good evening, everyone. We have lots of breaking news in the disappearance of Kaylee Anthony. On the phone with me right now is Tim Miller from Texas EquiSearch. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Dana. How are you?
I'm fine. You're actually in Orlando, and you're at the Anthony residence, I believe?
I'm at the Anthony residence right now as we speak, yeah. I got here about 30 minutes ago, and Cindy and I hugged necks. I hugged Casey's neck, and their attorney Jose is here, and we're just kind of, going over some things and trying to get somewhat of a plan up, get to know each other. And tomorrow morning I'll be with the sheriff's department, and our people are heading this way right now in the motorhome. And just go ahead and put everything together we can put together to see if we can go ahead and get little Kaylee located.
You and I have worked together many times on this program talking about different missing people, and I actually brought up your name and your organization's name to Cindy Anthony 2 weeks ago or so, because we need help to find this little girl. The media has gone crazy again today, and we'll talk about that in just a second if you can, but the focus here with your organization is to find the missing, and that's Kaylee, correct?
Yeah, and a lot of people recommended that contacted the family and even law enforcement and wanted us to come down. And of course, we don't get involved until family does contact us or law enforcement contacts us. And Larry Garrison talked with the family also, and Larry is one that actually worked hard. And I know that she talked to you also, Dana. So I mean, there was a lot of behind the. Behind the scenes work that was done trying to get us here, and we're very honored, that we're that well known, and we've got 920 plus searches behind us, and I know that there was some disturbing news today. The family's kind of course shocked and upset with it, and that's one of the things that I just don't like to get involved in, and
right.
Especially without even talking law enforcement yet. And I just like to do what we do with most cases and just keep a open mind on it, unless we really do have some evidence of foul play or something. And instead of we know one fact about this whole case, and that fact is that Kaylee's missing.
Absolutely, I couldn't agree more.
And we look back at other things, and we always hope for a miracle, and there's been some miracles out there, and I don't think we can ever forget about Elizabeth Smart. I mean, we all love Elizabeth Smart off, and there's a miracle at the end. And on Kaylee's, poor little body is found. We're still hoping that she is alive out there somewhere. But again, with some news that came in today, and the family doesn't even know where this leaks from or anything,
right,
according to them, or how factual it even is. And so again, I need to get brushed up on the case even more tomorrow, and I'm sure that'll happen, and then we'll have a plan together. Tomorrow will be a big planning day, and an area to find that we're going to use for the command center for everybody to meet, and then we'll go to work.
You're no stranger to high-profile cases in the media, Natalie Holloway, of course. How difficult is it for your organization to do what you do best with all the media attention and swarming around you when you're trying to do your work?
We try to avoid them as much as we can. Of course, we need them at times, and, we have to be courteous to them, and they can be a tremendous help. The more the stories out there and stuff, again, if Kaylee is alive, maybe somebody will notice her. The more the story is out there, maybe if somebody's seen something else, it'll turn a light on, jog the memory, and lead us somewhere else. So we need them. But also, when we're really focused on what we're doing, and we're really just trying to run the command center and get people out and everything, many, many, many times it's been a huge problem, and it's a huge interference. And everybody seems to forget that this is about Taylor.
Right.
The same thing in Ohio, Canton, Ohio last year. This was about Jesse Davis.
I remember, yep.
The list goes on and on and on, and, at times I think that they kind of, exploit some things, sensationalize too many things, and, we've got a community that is deeply saddened. We've got a grandmother, I just hugged her neck, and, she just wiped the tears out of her eyes, can't believe what she's been going through these last few months, and, I'm just too sensitive to that, and we just want to stay focused on those cases.
Your whole organization, Tim, and I know you're busy and I won't keep you much longer, is a dedicated group of individuals. And I know my audience and the majority of those that listen on the Scared Monkeys blog know how dedicated you are. When you come into a case like this, and again, you admit yourself, you have to brush up on some of what's been going on, but it's been a couple of months. How do you start? Where do you begin?
Well, you just have to start. Again, after 920 plus of them, hopefully we've learned something. I look at the case of Naomi Arnett. In fact, some of the monkeys came up there to help us, and Naomi had been missing for 6 months, and it took us a day and a half to get her located. Unfortunately, she was deceased. We went to Kiln, Mississippi, on a case on a girl that had been missing 6 months, and they certainly had some evidence her husband did something to her. And in less than 30 minutes, we located her. Kenneth Cummings case that we did last year took us over 200 miles away. And so, we've had a lot of success in that area, but in those cases too, we had some information to go on. We don't have a lot to go on,
right?
With Kaylee, and hopefully working with the family, working with law enforcement, and Dana, I am a true believer that I believe that it's a tremendous amount of strength and numbers. In going back to Jesse Davis' search, I think there was about 70 people total that searched the week before we got there, and we anticipated there's, maybe at best we'd get 200 people. That very first day, 800 showed up, and after 3 days, there was 4,300. And I think that kind of stuff also puts pressure on anybody out there that can be involved. That kind of stuff, when you have that many numbers, if there's something out there, there's a lot better chance of getting it located when you really tell these people how we're going to search, when we let them know what they're there for, we let them know right off the bat that leave your attitude at home, leave your ego at home. This is about this search, period, the end. And we got to stay focused on what we do. And again, that's why, we brought in nearly 300 people home alive. Many of them would have been dead. In fact, saying last week I did one in Galveston, Texas that we all wrote off that she was dead. We worked so very, very hard on that. And the night before last, I got her located alive. And she was an elderly lady. Those are the heartwarming ones when we can get them home alive. But the whole deal on it, Dana, is just don't quit. Don't never quit. Is it frustrating? Is it, financially at times, you just don't know how in the world can I do it? But you know what? Some of our God has blessed us to that point that we can barely do it, and we just want to keep doing it. But you know what? We don't want to keep doing it, Dana. We would hope the day would come that we'd be out of business because there's no more missing people, and especially missing children.
Right.
And unfortunately, that is not going to come. And you know what, Dana? My favorite saying is, and I'll close on this, is that our children only make up 25% of our population, 100% of our future, and we can only hope and pray now that Kaylee is going to be part of our future. Does it look good? No. But, you know, let's hold on to every ounce of hope we can hold on to until we know different. You know, God bless everybody that's coming down here. There's monkeys that are coming down here from Ohio and other states. I anticipate a turnout down here as big as we had in Canton, Ohio on Jesse Davis. And, you know, let's hope that we can either get this precious baby home alive or we can go ahead if something has happened to her. Find her, let her have the dignity that she deserves. Let this community, let the country, I mean, I get choked up with this, but Kaylee's became America's child. I mean,
yep.
Everybody loves Kaylee.
Yep.
And so, you know, everybody, we need your prayers, we need your donations to keep this going on, and let's don't give up hope.
Absolutely. Tim Miller, you're always welcome on my program, and I wish you all the best of luck.
Dana, thank you so much for having me.
Take care, sir. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's Tim Miller from Texas EquiSearch, and you know, I don't think there's anyone here that's listening, either live or later on during the podcast, that won't agree that finding Kaylee is of most importance. Let's just hope that Tim Miller and all the volunteers at Texas EquiSearch will get the cooperation that they need to help find this missing child. My name's Dana Pretzer. We're going to take a break, and we're going to be back with one of those searchers. He also works with a nonprofit organization called Moms for Justice. His name is Joseph Jordan. You've heard him on this program before, and we're going to be right back with him. And then a little bit later on, a police detective and someone who's running for New York State Senate, someone who is very well-versed in DNA and these types of investigations, will be here to talk about this case, and his name is Den Delano. My name's Dana Pretzer. We'll be right back here on Scared Monkeys Radio.
You're listening to Scared Monkeys Radio. Once again, your host, Dana Pretzer.
Okay, we're back. You'll recognize my next guest as someone who has been volunteering his time in the search for Kaylee Anthony, and he's also involved with the organization Moms for Justice, and that can be found at momsforjustice.org. Joseph Jordan, welcome back to the program.
Hello, Dana.
Lots of breaking news on the Kaylee Anthony case today, or is it just a bunch of stuff that really isn't going to mean much in the big picture? I'm curious on your thoughts before we get into the search.
You know, I don't know, Dana. I'd like to say that Larry Garrison, he can't spin the latest developments in this case. you know, of all people, I've held my opinion on this case.
Yep.
I've held my opinion back on this case. And given the family the benefit of the doubt. But now we have new evidence. A 400-page document came out yesterday. Casey's friends, if you want to call them friends, describe her as a liar and bipolar. Casey's own mother calls her a sociopath, and a source within her own extended family calls her a narcissist. We've read from witnesses that she didn't even want Kaylee and tried to give her up for adoption, which Cindy put a stop to. We also heard that she was sleeping with Ricardo Morales, Tony Lazaro, a DJ at Fusion Nightclub, Anthony Ruciano, the former Orange County Sheriff's deputy that was fired, possibly Jesse Grun, a former Orlando Police Department sworn officer who quit just before Casey was reported missing, and all around the same time, and quite possibly others that we're not aware of.
Yeah.
You know, if you've been following the internet coverage, which I'm sure you have.
Yep.
You've seen pictures of her at a gentleman by the name of Sean Daly of that he calls himself Lake Vag on MySpace. He had sex parties that Amy was confirmed. Amy has confirmed that Casey brought Kaylee to, and according to the documents released, Casey Anthony let Kaylee sleep in the same bed with her and Ricardo. We have no idea how many other men this woman let her daughter sleep in the same bed with. Now, this raises some grave concerns. I mean, for me, just introducing this child to all the different men would raise concerns for me. But letting her daughter sleep in the same bed with them? What kind of a parent lets this happen?
No.
What kind of a man would allow this? I can't fathom it. And we know Casey was jealous of Cindy's relationship with Kaylee. And now we have confirmation that there was a decomposing body in Casey Anthony's trunk. Excuse me. I've even heard preliminary reports that I have not confirmed that there were also scratches within the trunk, which tells me she might have even been alive when she was put there, or this was a common occurrence, maybe as corporal punishment. I don't know. This time, though, it probably went severely wrong. We've heard from a family hairdresser that Kaylee had a wound underneath her eye, and we've seen pictures of a black and blue Kaylee. What I want to know is who's responsible for this abuse of Kaylee. Maybe Casey was trying to get her away from an abusive household. We all know that people that are abused that don't receive therapy may very well become abusers themselves. In all of this, we still need to find Kaylee's body to make sure that there wasn't anything additional that was inflicted on her besides murder. The cadaver dogs hit on the trunk, and now that we have proof there was a decomposing body in Casey's car, which was registered to her parents, we need to figure out a few answers to some simple questions that common people are asking today. Why didn't the tow truck company notify the police immediately when they smelled the car? Why didn't George Aniston notify the police immediately? For God's sake, he was a former homicide investigator. Was he that bad at his job that he doesn't know what a decomposing body smells like? And why did Cindy Anthony wash the clothing that was in the trunk with the decomposing body? The Orlando Sentinel was even reporting yesterday that Cindy also washed a kitchen knife that was in the car.
Right.
You know, why did they make up this ridiculous story of pizza and laundry detergent? This has just created so many more questions in this case, and now Casey's claiming Kaylee's disappearance was scripted by Zenaida and Sam. You know, and we also come down to who was deleting the content on Casey's MySpace. I think what this comes down to is we possibly have charges now for accessory after the fact and tampering or destruction of evidence, which both are felony charges. And forget limited immunity. I think this needs to be charged as a murder. But even if this was an accident, we now have the family involved in accessory after the fact and tampering and destruction of evidence. And you know, I have to say, at least after all of the commotion that the Padillas have caused, I think he was honorable in taking back his words and accepting the facts. Now we just need them to get them to revoke the bond. I think ultimately he saw what we all had hoped for, a possibility that this little girl was still alive. Now, I don't want to take the blame off of Mom here, but now we have to accept that with the family dynamic and a mother with severe psychiatric problems and friends and boyfriends uncaring about what Kaylee was exposed to, this poor little girl never had a chance. If Amy would have called Cindy to tell her that Casey was bringing her granddaughter to adult parties, or her friends would have notified Child Protective Services that she was letting boyfriends sleep in the same bed with her daughter, or someone would have reported Kaylee's black and blue eye, we might have avoided all of this. There's a saying, it takes a community to raise a child, and Kaylee's community and mother failed her. This is why we need to prevent abuse and neglect like this from happening. And I encourage all the listeners out there, when you suspect child abuse or child neglect, you need to let the authorities know. You don't have to determine whether or not the parent is guilty. That's what the investigators are there for.
Yep.
Trust your intuition. Your suspicions may just save a child.
Well, and you say it well. It says when you say it, it takes a community to raise a child, and we also can't forget that a child is part of that community. And when you see the lack of scruples, no common sense, sex parties, lies, theft, stealing money, credit cards, the story spun every possible way that it can, leaks both from the sheriff's department and you name it, I saw Padilla on Nancy Grace tonight, and for a small second I did feel sorry for him, although he still was in this for the for the PR, for the glory of it. But he looked pretty sick tonight. I think that the ball is in the Orlando or the Orange County Sheriff's Department's hands right now. They need to put up or shut up with this case. The evidence is coming through loud and clear, and they better start doing something with it. Your thoughts?
I agree with you 100%. And like I said earlier, I think this is going to go for a murder charge, which I honestly think that there needs to be additional people investigated in this case, that they need to be looking a little bit further into why, what the motive was here. Kaylee exposed to something and you know, they needed to hide it? I don't know. It really concerns me about the family covering up the evidence after the fact. This has bothered me from the very beginning, and as soon as I saw this case, it reminded me of so many cases I deal with that involves child sexual abuse and incest. I just don't know, and I can't fathom if my child brought my grandchild or brought my car home, and my grandchild was not there, and it smelled like a decomposing body because I was a homicide investigator and I know that, why wouldn't you call the police?
Yep.
Right then and there? Why would you wait until you can confirm whether or not... It just blows my mind, Dana. And you know that, of all people, I've held my opinion back.
Yep.
So very long. And I want to say, you know, I right now I have over $1,000 worth of flyers here that I've purchased from Vistaprint to hand out to people and to assist Tim Miller. And after seeing the news today and after reading 400 pages all night long, I don't even know what to think, Dana.
Well, I had Tim Miller on just before you, you know that, and he's actually at the Anthony House. But one thing I can tell you from interviewing Tim Miller on several different occasions, not only in the Holloway case, but several other missing persons, his organization, like you and the group that you work with, are concerned mainly on finding the missing. And we all know that finding this little girl, this little Kaylee, will bring a lot of answers to this case, and I think that's so important. And I'm sure, Joe, that you and anyone else that goes and works with Tim Miller, they will go towards that. But without cooperation from the family, and Casey, obviously, how difficult will this be? You know, you can pinpoint areas, you can look in areas. You know, you yourself found clothing that may or may not be evidence, but finding this little baby is so paramount right now because this case is exploding, and I think we're going to hear more tomorrow and more the next day. And as far as limited immunity goes, that's garbage. Unless tonight, in the next hour, she takes Tim Miller and the Orange County Sheriff's Department to the body of her daughter, whether she is alive or passed, I think that immunity deal should go out the window real fast because this has gone on too long, and the law enforcement agents that are working on this are starting to look a little foolish, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can tell you, as long as Tim Miller is involved, from what I've read about him, he's a wonderful man, and
yes,
briefly last night, and I've sent in my membership application and plan on staying a lifelong member with their organization, but I can tell you, as long as they stay involved, I'm going to dedicate my time with them to continue searching for Kaylee as long as it takes.
Now, we need to confirm, and we only have you here for a few more minutes, but we need to confirm, because I'm getting flooded with emails here about the scratches in the trunk. That is just speculation that's been reported, is it not?
Yeah. I honestly received an email from a source that did say scratches on a trunk, in or on the trunk. So, like I said, I have not confirmed those, but I got it at the last minute before we had talked, and I think if there are scratches in that trunk, that raises some serious questions at this point.
Well, I'm going to be speaking.
It wasn't just placing a dead body in that trunk; it was placing a live little girl in that trunk.
I'm going to be speaking with Den Delano, who you know, right after you and I hang up, and we're going to be talking about DNA and evidence and things like that. But it will be, you know, so important to see more of this evidence come forward here in the next few days. And I think this story is far from being over. But like we all say, finding Kaylee is the most important thing. I'll give you the last word.
It is, and with respect to Mr. Delano, I think he's the gentleman that solved the Buffalo rape murders.
Yes.
His perspective is definitely very. Whatever view he has is definitely respectful, I definitely respect. I can't tell you the time and. I've watched so much of the cases that he's been involved in, and he is a phenomenal person. And I hope that he does make Senate, and I hope that the police department continues to look at this case that he's involved with an extreme close eye, because he is a very, very valuable detective, and I couldn't ask for anything better. I wish we had more of them in Florida.
Yeah, for sure. Joe, I appreciate it, and we'll stay in touch.
Okay, thank you, Dana.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye. That's more from Orlando. We'll be back in just a minute with Den Delano. He's a police detective, has a lot of knowledge when it comes to DNA evidence. We're going to talk about this case and others, and he's also running for the New York State Senate. I love that. Cop as a politician. Need somebody in Albany to keep him straight. My name's Dana Pretzer. This is Scared Monkeys Radio. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Scared Monkeys Radio. Once again, here's your host, Dana Pretzer.
Okay, we're back. My next guest is, he's my kind of guy. He's a paramedic, cop, worked very hard in working on the Buffalo rapist case, running for Senate in New York. Den Delano is here. And when you sit down and you talk cop to cop, as you know, I do that too, 26 years on the job, you'll see a special kinship. And I can tell before I even talk much to this gentleman, he and I will share equal beliefs on a lot of things. Welcome to Scared Monkeys Radio, sir.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Law enforcement, paramedic, L.A. County, other areas, Buffalo Police Department, rape cases, you name it. You've done it all. Now you're going into politics. Are you just like the rest of us, typical cops, suckers for punishment, or you really love serving the people?
Yeah, it's kind of in my blood at this point. I'm not so sure what the relationship is between me investigating rapists and going into politics, but something's weird there. But I'm gonna learn politician. The main reason I got involved in politics is I got tired of these career politicians that have gotten away from serving the everyday average taxpayer, and I figured maybe I could do something about it, and that's the only reason I really jumped into the race.
You know, making it difficult for Joe and Mary Sixpack out there to live their lives, the cop on the beat to do his job, the doctor to do their jobs, all that sort of stuff, and if you can get representation in Senate wherever, I don't care where you are. I love to hear stories of law enforcement getting into politics. I'll share a story with you. I'm arresting attempting to arrest a meth addict the other night, and as she's kicking the crap out of me as I'm trying to get her in my patrol car, I'm thinking of questions I'm going to ask you, believe it or not. And so I'm kind of wrestling with her and putting her in the back of my patrol car thinking, why do I do this? And why am I still doing this after 26 years when I could be talking to Den Delano on the radio and having lots of fun? And then I think I'm going to do that anyway. But once you get that, once you pin that badge on, it's hard to get away from it, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I was happy. I was a paramedic way back in late 70s. I was a paramedic in Los Angeles County. And I got homesick and came back to Buffalo area. And I've been a cop ever since. And I began working homicide cases. And I really enjoyed that. And it kind of... all the knowledge I had gained from being a paramedic helped me investigate homicides as far as cause of, and that type of thing. And recently, last few years, I've been investigating cold cases, and I just have a kind of a passion for investigating that type of thing. I like dealing with the families and the people. I really feel that I can help people by doing that.
You know, the satisfaction of closing a case, and I hate the term closure, so I'm going to use the term bringing answers to families that have waited so many years is just unbelievable. But you're right when it comes to helping people. That's what this is all about. Dan, one of the biggest stories that's in the media right now, and I've been covering it on my program this evening, and our mutual friend Joseph Jordan and I were just talking before I brought you on the air, is this little girl, Kaylee Anthony, down in Orlando, Florida. Mom reports her missing, a month after she was gone. Now all of a sudden we're getting reports in the media, although I'm a little skeptical, and maybe that's because I'm a cop too long till I see something in writing as far as DNA results and the media and all the stuff goes. But as a homicide cop, you're assigned a case like this. This is a tough one because you're dealing with someone with that narcissistic, sociopathic type of personality that's going to tell you red is blue and black is yellow every time you sit down and ask a question, and forensics and that kind of evidence is about really all you're going to go on, because she's going to be a hard nut to crack.
Oh, absolutely. But you know what I found investigating homicide cases is that the majority of your suspects are sociopathic liars and that type of thing, and there's different ways to approach them. I just don't understand. This whole case is probably the most bizarre case I've ever yep. heard about. When Joe contacted me about it, it's just, I started reading all the information I can get on it. It just, nothing adds up in this case. It's just craziness. And I don't know where the, I don't want to be critical because I'm not there. And it's very frustrating not being able to, I'm sure you know as a cop, be able to jump into this thing
right.
and investigate it ourselves, because we each probably have our own opinion on it as to how to go about getting the information we need. It's very frustrating just to read this stuff, but where is the, I don't see a lot coming out of local law enforcement. It doesn't seem like they're releasing a lot of information. And I don't understand all this stuff with this the bail bondsman getting involved.
Yeah.
You know, if that was here, I'd have a strong temptation to lock in for abducting this case. You know, I don't know. I don't have all the information, but that's just from what I see. You know, it's just very frustrating, this case. The answers are there, though. As they will, they're going to come out eventually, as you well know. Sooner or later, it's going to come out. I just have a hard time believing that this girl could be so fribbling if she indeed caused Kaylee's demise. I don't know. She would be over the top sociopathic, if you understand what I'm saying.
You know, I made a comment earlier this evening that the ball is in the Orange County Sheriff's Department's court here right now, because this case has gone from craziness to every sort of spin that you can possibly get in the media, to leaks, to newspaper organizations going through freedom of information requests to get the case file, for lack of a better term. I've never seen that before. While the case is going on, to goofy bounty hunters, to Hollywood new press people, and you got to wonder, you got to hope that the cops are doing their jobs. But how difficult is this? And you worked on the Buffalo rapist case. When you get that much media attention, to not fall into that trap and stay neutral and do your job.
I believe you know, like, as I said again, I don't want to be critical of local law enforcement because I don't have all the information. I don't know where it's coming from. But they probably, the more I think about it, the less that they come out with, or maybe would create less of a surface atmosphere, and maybe they have shut down outside communication for a reason, that being all the craziness going on out there.
Yeah.
Maybe they're, hopefully, and like I said, I have no way of knowing, but I'm praying that they are diligently doing their job and going at it from every angle possible, and hopefully they'll come out to a successful conclusion. And you know, again, I'm praying fervently that this little girl is somewhere out there. I just have a, you know yourself, you get kind of hardened after a while investigating homicides, and I'm just hoping and praying that this young mother could not be that flippant if she did indeed do something tragic to this little girl, and that hopefully she is out there somewhere.
You know, when you and I started in law enforcement, you longer than I, we never heard of DNA. We would have said back then, DNA what? You know, you took a suspect, you took a perp into an interrogation room, and you had a come-to-Jesus meeting with them for a couple hours or four or five. Longest I had was 8 hours one time, and you got your evidence. You got a confession. Yeah, you followed the rules. You had to dot the I's and cross the T's, but we have this wonderful forensic evidence now called DNA, and here we're hearing reports today of air samples and talk of hair samples that can be determined whether or not the hair was from a decomposing body at the time. And when it comes to this, Den, you really don't need that body to lay a murder charge, but these DNA results are going to be hard to refute, are they not?
Absolutely. But here's the thing that kind of concerns me. I don't know when they supposedly collected any type of physical evidence in I believe in the trunk of the car and that type of thing.
Yeah.
But it only, I've known from my experience with the bike path rape cases, when we were, this guy was out there and we knew he was out there and we needed to put our hands on him as soon as possible before he hit again. We had the lab on call 24/7 and we would get our DNA results back within hours, not days. I mean, I remember when DNA, a couple years ago, I investigated a case and we broke it, and it was a 33-year-old homicide, solved by DNA. That took me 9 months to get the first DNA report. From the time I submitted the evidence, and it was hair evidence, to the time I got the report back was 9 months. When we were working these bike path cases just 2 years ago, we were getting DNA results back within 8-9 hours. You know, so I know it can be done. And if they had that evidence, and it was positive for, you know, implicating her demise, I mean, there's no way that this girl would be, if it was my case, there's no way that she'd be walking around going to her caseworker and that type of thing. I mean, she'd be back behind bars right quick.
Yeah, my next question was this old bounty on her, you know, right out of a schlocky Western movie with the hat and all this stuff, looking for publicity. You know, I've interviewed Dog Chapman many times. He's the real bounty hunter that's out there, and even he said this guy's nuts to get involved with something like this. And now tonight, you see that he's probably going to lose his 50 G's that he put up and any other property because the bail is going to get revoked. But, you know, how do you deal with something like that? I'm with you. I would have locked his fanny up for interfering with the investigation.
This guy, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how he was allowed to get this involved. Like I said, if it was our case, there was no way that he would be allowed. Now, Florida's laws might be different, but in New York State, there's no way that... we could allow this guy to get in the middle of an investigation like that. I mean, it just, it's incomprehensible that he's right in the middle of this thing. And then I read something somewhere that he's not even sharing his information with the investigators in the case. I don't know. Something just doesn't make sense about all this. You know, it's craziness.
Yeah, man. Well, where I work, that's called obstruction.
Yeah, it's absolutely. It's almost like how not to... not to run a homicide investigation. I don't know. It's craziness.
Yeah, that's for sure. And we all know that the evidence is going to be, or a big part of this case is going to be, and hopefully they'll be able to find this little girl, because there'll be a lot of answers with her. We all hope and pray she's alive, but you know as well as I do, after this amount of time and the evidence that's coming out now, what that result will be. Anyway, let's turn.
Also, Dan, I'd like to say that I was thinking about that before, and after this amount of time, it's almost, if these guys are diligently working this case, then, and if, let's just take a go out on a limb and say she did do something to this little girl to cause her death. For sure, by now, it seems that they would have found some sort of evidence that she had killed this little girl.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, she could not have been, if this was the first time she killed somebody, she could not have wrapped this up that neat to escape detection. She would have had to make some mistake somewhere down the road. That's why I'm kind of optimistic a little bit that this little girl may be alive yet.
Well, we hope so, and there'll be a lot of explanations and a lot of questions yet still to be answered with all the evidence that's coming through, whether it's true, legitimate, or if it's just media spin, I don't know. But let's turn the page here for a minute and get back to you. You're running for New York State Senate. How difficult was that as far as a decision for you? You know, you've been public service all your life, but this is a little different from riding in a patrol car or in a paramedic rescue unit to going and talking to a bunch of dopey politicians.
It's a lot more work than I thought it was going to be, that's for sure. you know what happened? I'll tell you. When we investigated the, and again, I'd like to stress that it was not me that solved any of these cases. It was a team of professionals that worked well together, and everything happened to fall into place. It was a team of people. It wasn't just me. It's just I happened to get caught on the short end of the stick on this deal, because I came forward and I kind of bucked the system. What happened was when Anthony Capozzi, we discovered that he was innocent. He was in prison for 22 years for crimes he didn't commit. And we now know that the DNA proved us out that Altemio Sanchez committed the crimes that Anthony was in prison for. And Lynn Dejack, the same thing. She was convicted of killing her daughter, strangling her 13-year-old daughter, and she did not do that, and I got involved in that one. Well, what I found happened, and I wound up getting suspended because the district attorney's office refused to acknowledge that these people were innocent and in prison. Mm-hmm. And even if they were, even if they did acknowledge it, they wouldn't let them out because there wasn't any physical evidence at the time to prove their innocence. Now, my feeling was that if it didn't take physical evidence to put them in prison, it shouldn't take physical evidence to get them out of prison.
Right.
Their cases were based mainly circumstantially. They were convicted on no hard evidence. But irregardless of that, we did, in both cases, we found DNA that secured their release from prison. But the district attorney's office was just adamant that they weren't going to allow this to happen. And I was concerned about that. And when I spoke out against it, I got suspended from the job. And I'm still suspended, as a matter of fact, to this day. But I found out that my suspension was caused through politics, to make a long story short. The district attorney's office is highly political in this area and highly Democratic. The mayor of this city is highly Democratic. And I found out that the district attorney went through the mayor's office, who went to my commissioner, who serves at the mayor's discretion. And I wound up, they came down on me to shut me up. They got me out of the picture. Thankfully, both people were out of prison and all that by that time. But now the district attorney stepped down in the case, which is great. He's not going to run again, which is what I wanted in the first place, because he absolutely refused to let these innocent people out of prison. And they showed a disregard for these people, and it was unconscionable to me that they could just let them sit in prison knowing that they were innocent. And when I spoke out about it, I got kind of caught up in it, and I may lose my job because of it, but they got me out of the picture, and I found out that it was all politically motivated. I was naive at the time, and I didn't think that this type of thing went on in politics, so I decided that maybe it's time to get rid of some of these career politicians that are playing these nonsense games and not serving the public.
Well, you can you can hold your head high, and pinheads in charge aside, you did the right thing, and there are people, sadly, in jail today that are innocent, and if we can clear them as law enforcement officers, detectives, politicians, talk show hosts, whatever, we need to be doing that, and we need to be proud of what we've done, and you should be proud of what you've done, sir.
You know, I was it's amazing because I don't even know how to explain it, but I have a far more satisfaction of knowing that I helped get these innocent people out of prison than I did on my on the worst case that I've ever had, that I put somebody in prison. It's just that at the time I was naive enough to think that our system wouldn't allow us to put innocent people in prison, and now I've had to rethink my whole consciousness on that subject. So I just can't describe the feeling of helping these two people. And they were so, the families were so respectful and grateful that it doesn't get any better than that as a cop. When you know yourself, you get into the law enforcement because you want to do the right thing. It's not a job because you're not going to get rich being a law enforcement officer or any civil servant for that matter.
That's true.
You do it because you want to help people. And it doesn't get any more, helping people than what I was able to be involved in. And that was my payback. You know, I'm totally blessed from being involved and being able to help these two people.
Absolutely. And you should hold your head up high for that. Dan Delano, running for New York Senate, cop, paramedic, my kind of guy. You're always welcome on the program, sir.
Thank you. If I can ever do anything for you, Dana, just give a holler.
Okay. We'll talk soon.
All right. Have a good one.
Okay. Bye-bye. That's Dan Delano, again, running for New York Senate. Check out his webpage. And it's good to get that kind of guy, suspended from the force or not, I don't care, to come on the program and say like it is, because that's so important. We got about, 5 minutes left in the program. Depends what clock I'm looking at here. They're all different. And we can take your calls. You know, this has been a very busy day as far as the Kaylee Anthony case, and I sure hope that Tim Miller and the folks with Texas EquiSearch and those in Orlando that are helping will be able to find this precious little child and get the answers that we all need, and especially the family, whether you're pro or against, there are answers, and they'll be with that child. You can call in 1-306-842-7884, 1-306-842-7884, and we can talk about the show this evening and what's been going on. Looking at Leonard Padilla on the on Nancy Grace this evening. He wasn't close to eating his hat, but he would have had a lot to eat there. Did he get involved in something that he probably shouldn't have? Yeah. There was talk early on about this major media figure that kind of assisted with him and got the ball rolling, and his nephew to go in and bail her out, which I think was a huge mistake, and I think he's starting to realize that now. But the talk of this major media figure is kind of gone by the wayside. We still wonder who that is or who that was, and is that major media figure going to look awfully foolish when this whole case is done, or will this case be done in the next little while? I'm not sure. 1-306-842-7884. What do you think of the DNA results? I think they're damning. I'd like to see more. I'd like to see more than just one report, one TV station denial. Of course, the family will deny it. The lawyers will say they never saw it. One TV station will try and scoop the other TV station. That's the way way these things work. And I'm sure with the documents being released the way they're being released, we'll see results and probably and possibly other charges being filed in the very near future. Because like Dan Delano says, he's worked really closely with DNA and a lot of homicide cases. You know, sometimes 9 months, sometimes 9 days, where are these results? Why are they taking so long to come out? In fact, one of the TV stations in the Orlando area is reporting. The FBI lab has released some DNA results from the hair in the trunk, yet the others are saying no. So we probably need 24 hours to nail down exactly what's been released and what hasn't, and what report has come out and what report hasn't, so that we can digest all of this. And will Casey Anthony be back in jail sooner than we think? Will other charges be filed against her sooner than we think? Will. And Leonard Padilla said it tonight. His nephew will make the call. He didn't say, he didn't mean it, that he was literally going to call to revoke the bail, but he gave the indication that Tony Padilla, the bail bondsman, will be making the decision tonight as to whether or not he would revoke a bail revocation on Casey Anthony. And I don't know. You know, you can't find a more dedicated group of individuals or a nicer guy, someone who is committed to a job, than Tim Miller. And Tim Miller is with the family right now, and he is going to do what he can to find their granddaughter, I'm sure. Tim Miller isn't one to go in and make waves. Tim Miller isn't one to go in and start stirring the pot. He's going to look at the evidence. He's going to look at things that can help he and his team try and find this child. And, you know, there'll be a lot of answers with her. Will Casey Anthony do the right thing? Will she finally say what happened to her child and admit what went wrong? Or will she continue on with story after story after story? And a lot of them have been proven lies. Are the grandparents, Cindy and George Anthony, involved in this? Or are they just trying to protect their daughter and trying to find their granddaughter? There's, you know, different opinions and different pieces of evidence point different ways with that. It is one crazy story. Law enforcement sources that I have, lawyers, DAs, defense attorneys, say they haven't seen a case as crazy as this in a long time, because it is one that, you know, it is one that, well, that we, I don't think we'll hear the end of for quite some time yet. Will it keep the cable news shows quite busy for the next little while? I'm sure it will. I'm thinking Greta Van Susteren is probably shaking her head right now because she's covering the politics at the Democratic Convention so much, and Nancy Grace is scooping her with all the stories on this case. Shall we see? Well, here's what you need to do, is stay tuned to Scared Monkeys Radio at www.scaredmonkeysradio.com, or go to the blog at scaredmonkeys.com for all the news and updates in this case and others. My name is Dana Presser. I thank you. I thank all my guests this evening, and we'll see you again real soon here on Scared Monkeys Radio.
Been listening to the Dana Pretzer Show on Scared Monkeys Radio. We invite you to discuss tonight's program with other listeners by joining us at scaredmonkeysradio.com, where you'll find program archives, links to tonight's guests' websites, and further information regarding tonight's topics. Scared Monkeys Radio is a production of scaredmonkeys.com. Thanks for listening.